The study this month has been on grace to you, grace to you. And tonight's message is reigning in life. Now, when I say the word grace, what comes to your mind? What does the word grace mean? Think about that for a minute. The word grace. What does the word grace mean? All right. He's reading my sermon here. All right. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's getting something that we did not deserve. Something that we did not deserve is what we get. That's grace. And you know, our sins, the sins and the trespasses that we committed, deserved eternal death. Paul writes in Romans, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin pays a wage. But instead, what happens? God, over 2,000 years ago, sent Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God the Son, to die for our sins so that by our faith in Jesus, we could be forgiven of those sins. Is that good news? This forgiveness of sins is the something that we did not deserve. Let me say it again. Through faith in Jesus Christ, this forgiveness of our sins is the something that we did not deserve. That there is the grace of God, the undeserved, the unmerited favor of God. And as the chaplain of John 3:16 put it in his email to us, you could think of grace this way, G-R-A-C-E, G, God's, R, released, A, ability, C, changes, E, everything. Grace is God's released ability, changes everything. So grace is the unmerited favor of God, right? Number one. But number two, do you know what else grace is? The second definition of grace? It's God's divine ability in our lives. It's the divine empowerment of God to do in our lives something that we could not do in our own human and natural strength. And God's divine ability, His grace in our lives, enables us to reign in life. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about reigning in life. Reigning in life. And the text is Romans chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Say it with me. Reigning in life. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 5, verse 16. And this is what Paul writes. He says, "Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification." The gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. So let's go back to the garden. God created Adam, right? And He placed him in this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. And He said, "Adam, I'm placing you in this garden. I've created you. I'm placing you in this garden. You can eat of any tree in the garden. But the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." And so the tempter, the serpent, came to the woman in Genesis chapter 3 and said this to her in verse 1. "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, verse 6 of Genesis 3, "pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And then she gave some to her husband Adam. And when they ate of the forbidden fruit, guess what? Sin entered the world." That sin was separation from God. They were banished from the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden represented fellowship with God. They were separated from God because sin had entered the world. All right, so there's some history there. So verse 16, "The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation." The judgment for that sin of eating of the forbidden fruit was condemnation. What? We were all condemned to death. Is that making sense? All of humanity, after the sin of Adam and Eve, after eating the forbidden fruit, were condemned to physical and spiritual death. They passed that sin nature on to us, generation after generation. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But then it says in verse 16 of Romans 5, but the gift, what gift? The gift of Jesus and the gift of His work on the cross did what? Followed many trespasses and brought justification. What does it mean that the gift of Jesus on the cross, His work on the cross, followed many trespasses? It followed all the trespasses from the beginning of time. It followed all the trespasses that you ever committed, and it covered them all. That's how great the gift of Jesus is. That's how great the gift of His work on the cross is. It followed all the trespasses and the sins from the beginning of time. It followed all the trespasses and sins you ever committed, and it covered them all. Is that good news? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, all the sins you committed up until that point were forgiven and forgotten by God. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
Verse 17 of Romans 5, it says this, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Because of the trespass and the sin that Adam and Eve committed, death reigned. Who put death on the throne? What put death on the throne? Their sin. Their sin put death on the throne. It placed this merciless ruler called death on the throne. All are subject to physical death. All of us sitting here tonight will die physically at one point. And for those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, will be subject to spiritual death. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that you don't want to leave this place tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Because eternity is a long, long time. But the good news is, for those who have Jesus in their hearts, those who have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, those who have placed faith in Jesus, will escape, have escaped spiritual death. They will escape eternal death. Could you say amen?
Amen.
All right. So, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace? Why does he write God's abundant provision of grace? What does it mean, God's abundant provision of grace? Like I talked about just a few minutes ago, that God's grace is abundant, it's overflowing. It covers all the trespasses from the beginning of time. It covers all the trespasses and sins you've committed in your life. So how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about those words, the words in Romans 5:17, the last few words that talks about reigning in life. Reigning in life. Say it with me. I can reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. All right. So, how many here have experienced condemnation, guilt? Condemnation and guilt is of the devil. He tries to bring up your past. Remember when you abused that person. Because you abused that person, you'll never have a spouse. Remember when you stole from that store. Because you stole from that store, you'll never work in the retail industry. Remember when you belittled the Word of God. Because you belittle the Word of God, you'll never be able to teach the Word of God. That's condemnation and guilt that the devil brings upon us. The Word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, how many here have experienced condemnation at some point in your life? How many here have experienced depression at some point in your life? How many here have experienced grief and sickness at some point in your life? How many here tonight have experienced financial lack and need at some point in your life? How many here have ever experienced a broken relationship, a divorce in your life? All of us have experienced either some or all of these enemies. Let me tell you here tonight, you would agree with me that this world is hard. How many would agree that this world is a hard place to live in? Raise your hand if you agree. Say it with me. This world is a hard place to live in. But let's talk about reigning in life. Reigning in life. What does Paul mean when he writes that those who receive the abundant provision of grace will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Reigning in life means that in eternity, now listen, in heaven one day, we will be triumphant over and free from the enemies that I just talked about. One day, when you enter heaven, when you make it to eternity, you and I will be free. We will be triumphant over the enemies that have tried to hold us down on this earth. We will be free from condemnation. We will be free from grief. We will have been free from sickness and disease. We will be free from broken relationships when we enter eternity, heaven, to be with God and with Jesus forever one day. Is that good news? Reigning in life. So when you think of that word reign or reign in life, think of it this way. One day in heaven, in eternity, I will reign. I will be triumphant over. I will have victory over. I will be free from the enemies that try to hold me down while I lived on planet Earth. Plain and simple. But my question to you tonight is this. That's good news, right? That one day in heaven, we will be free from all those enemies. We will be triumphant over all those enemies. Let me tell you, heaven is a wonderful place. You won't want to miss it for anything. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. There's only joy and happiness and peace forever in the presence of God and of Jesus. You won't want to miss heaven for anything. And the way to heaven is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Amen?
Amen.
So we will reign in life. We will reign in eternal life one day with God and with Jesus. But my question to you tonight is this. How many plan to live on this earth another 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years? A lot of us sitting here, a lot of us listening, will live on this earth for a long time more. So I've got good news for you here tonight. The good news is that you can have a taste of that heavenly bliss, of that reigning in life here on this earth. Remember, you will be, I will be in heavenly bliss one day with God and with Jesus. But on this earth, you and I can have a taste of that heavenly bliss right in the here, in the now. Is that good news? You can be victorious right in the here and now over the enemies that are trying to hold you down. Let me say it again. In the here and now of your life on planet Earth, you can reign in life. You can be victorious. You can have triumph over those ugly enemies through that one man, Jesus Christ. You may not be victorious over every enemy for all the time here on this earth, but you can still have a taste of that heavenly bliss right here. There may be seasons for you. Well, God will give you tremendous financial prosperity, tremendous physical health, awesome reconciled relationships to give you a taste of that heavenly bliss right here on this earth. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:10? What did he say? If you have any questions about this, it's in Matthew 6, verse 10. What did he say in the Lord's Prayer? Matthew 6, you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. He said, Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is heaven like? As I said earlier, it's full of joy. No more sorrow, no more agony, no more tribulation, no more slaving at a job to make money to pay the bills. Heaven is absolute perfection. And we're to taste a little bit of that here on this earth because His will in heaven is to be done here on this earth. If heaven is perfect, and it's blissful, we can have a taste of that in the here and the now. You can be free from condemnation, friend, here on this earth. It will happen in heaven where you're completely free from condemnation and guilt. But you can have a taste of that on this earth. Remember what I said to you the last time I was here last month. That the devil doesn't want you to know this. He sees you clothed with the blood of Jesus. He sees you as a person of authority. So that when you open your mouth with the word of God in it, he will have to flee. When he tries to bring up your past, when he tries to put a guilt trip on you, when he tries to condemn you, you quote the word of God. He does not want you to know that he sees you as a person of authority, but he does. You quote the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to me who am in Christ Jesus. You quote the word and the devil will have to flee. Amen? Every time you get into this mode of a guilt trip, feeling bad about yourself, feeling bad about what you did in your past, feeling condemned, that's the devil, and you quote the word to him. Say it with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those, to me, who am in Christ Jesus. You can reign over condemnation on this earth. You can be triumphant over it by having the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. Friend, you can reign over depression here on this earth. Of course, in heaven, there will be no depression. You may be experiencing depression today in your life, tonight. But you know what? You can be triumphant over it in the here and now. I've been there before. I know what it feels like. You don't want to be around anybody. Some people don't want to eat when they're depressed. You don't want to get up in the morning. You just want to be to yourself. Depression is an ugly thing. Some of you may feel so low, so small that you can do a push-up under a penny. But you can be free from depression in the here and now. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when a person gets depressed, I've said this before, when a person gets depressed, they're focused a lot on their problems. They're focused a lot on themselves. I can't believe this happened to me. It's me. I can't believe this person left me. I can't believe this person cut me off. I can't believe this happened in my life. And so when the focus is so much on me, you happen to get really depressed. What's the solution to depression? What's the solution to depression? To reign over depression? To be triumphant over depression? To reign over depression in the here and now? It's by stepping out of yourself to reach somebody who is in greater need than you. But Jonathan, you don't know what great need I'm in. I only have $20 to my name. But friend, you've got a shelter to sleep in tonight. There is somebody out there tonight on the streets of downtown Tulsa sleeping under a bridge, sleeping on a street corner. Guess what? You can help them. You can buy them a cup of coffee. You can spend some time with that person and bring them the love of Christ. And as you shift the focus from yourself to helping others, guess what? That depression will leave your life. You will reign and be triumphant in the here and now over the depression that is trying to stalk you. Amen?
Amen.
You can reign in this life, be triumphant over sickness and disease. You can reign and be triumphant in this life over sickness and disease. Would you agree with that here tonight?
Yes.
Remember the two blind men that came to Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. They cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Are you dealing with sickness in your life right now? Or maybe sickness in the life of a loved one? Are you dealing with disease and infirmity in your body? Guess what? You can be victorious and triumphant over that sickness. You can reign over that sickness. In heaven, there is no more sickness. In heaven, there is no more disease. There is no infirmity in heaven. Guess what? You can have a taste of that right here in downtown Tulsa. Could you say amen?
Amen?
You can be healed in your body. But what is God looking for as he was looking for from the two blind men? He's looking for what? Somebody said it. God is looking for faith. Faith is a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can do it for you. The same Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago when he walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus who can heal your infirm body in the here and now. You know what? When you honor God with your faith, faith is the thing that honors God. When you honor God with your faith, he will honor you with a physical healing miracle that you've been asking him for. But he's looking for faith. If you allow doubt to enter, what if this and what if the other thing and what if it doesn't happen and what if I'm healed for a little bit and it relapses, that's doubt. That's the enemy playing with your mind. You cannot allow doubt to enter your mind. You've got to have a childlike faith, a doubtless faith. You've got to have a persevering faith, a faith that does not give up. And God, if you honor God with your faith, knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can do it for you, he will honor you with that miracle of physical healing. Amen? You can reign in life. You can reign over oppression, demonic oppression in your life. Maybe the devil's trying to keep you up at night where you can't sleep. You're tormented in your mind. You keep thinking about that same problem. You're worried about it. You think about it over and over and over again, and he's robbing you of sleep. That's the devil trying to oppress you. You can reign over demonic oppression in your life. In the here and now, I was in India back in March of 2000. Did a lot of missionary work in the country of India. And it was about 300 people in this group, and I was preaching the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I was preaching the gospel in March of 2000, this lady in the front, they were sitting on the ground, started to writhe like a snake. She was demon-possessed. So I stopped in the middle of my sermon, and I just said, spoke to it, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And immediately she just shook her head, straightened up, sat down, and listened to the rest of the message. That demon left her. At that point, she was reigning in life. She was reigning over. She was reigning over demonic oppression, demonic possession, whatever it was. And friend, I'm here to tell you here tonight that God can do the same for you. God is no respecter of persons. Don't let the devil play with your mind and your soul. Don't let him keep you up at night. You just say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out, devil. If there's anything that scares him bad, it's the name of Jesus. Just mention the name of Jesus, think the name of Jesus, and the devil will have to flee. Amen?
Amen.
So, reigning in life. What does it mean to reign in life, to summarize tonight? To reign in life means that one day, when you leave your physical body, you will reign in heaven forever and ever. You will be triumphant over all the enemies in heaven that tried to keep you down and under here on this earth. But remember, you still on this earth can have a taste of that reigning in life. You on this earth can still have a taste of that heavenly bliss in the here and now. Amen?
Amen.
You can reign over condemnation on this earth. You can reign over guilt. You can reign over depression. You can reign over sickness and disease. You can reign over broken relationships and financial lack. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.